Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, August 31st. On September 11th, 2001, that's 20 years ago next week, members of Al-Qaeda attacked the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and other targets inside the United States. You know that. Less than a month later, on October 7th, 2001, President George W. Bush made this announcement.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. These carefully targeted actions are designed to disrupt the use of Afghanistan as a terrorist base of operations and to attack the military capability of the Taliban regime.
President George W. Bush announcing the beginning of the war on October 7, 2001. Here is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken yesterday.
A new chapter of America's engagement with Afghanistan has begun. It's one in which we will lead with our diplomacy. The military mission is over. A new diplomatic mission has begun.
So the war in Afghanistan, as far as the U.S. is concerned, is over. Now, before we bring in our guest, New Jersey Congresswoman and former Navy pilot Mikey Sherrill, here's another clip of President Bush just after he announced those first airstrikes.
At the same time, the oppressed people of Afghanistan will know the generosity of America and our allies. As we strike military targets, we will also drop food, medicine, and supplies to the starving and suffering men and women and children of Afghanistan.
Again, President Bush on October 7th, 2001. We have yet one more clip of Bush from that speech that will play in a couple of minutes. You'll hear why. But with us now is New Jersey Congresswoman and former Navy pilot Mikey Sherrill. She was in the Navy from 1994 to 2003, so that included September 11th and that George W. Bush speech. Congresswoman Sherrill is a Democrat from New Jersey's 11th Congressional District, covering a big circle a little bit west of New York City with Parsippany smack dab in the middle, parts of Morris, Essex, Passaic, and Sussex counties. She's a member of the House Armed Services Committee, as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee and the Education and Labor Committee. Congresswoman Sherrill, thanks for coming on this historic day, even if bittersweet, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Would you like to start perhaps by just thanking and honoring the more than 2,300 American men and women who died in this mission these last 20 years, including the final 11 men and 2 women who were killed in the suicide bombing at the airport last Thursday?
You know, I certainly would, because as you can imagine, here in my district, which you described very well, I'm on the eastern edge in Montclair, and if you go up to the reservation, you look down upon New York City. That's where we have our 9/11 memorial, like just about every town in my district, some memory of those who died in the trade towers. And I just remember those days and weeks and months after 9/11. In fact, I remember the fear that everything could be a terrorist target. To the point where I was standing on the battle watch floor. I was stationed in London at the commander of the U.S. European Fleet headquarters shortly after 9/11. And I was on the watch floor, the battle watch floor, as we were going into Iraq. And I was standing with my commander, who was from Memphis. And he said, you know, my mom just called me and she's scared to death. She said, Bobby, they have the brand new library that they built in Memphis, in downtown Memphis. And I think that would be a really important terrorist target, just to show you how broad and widespread the fear was across this country. And to think of the men and women who kept us safe for 20 years so that my kids didn't grow up with that shadow and that fear. It really is incredible to think of how safe we were kept here at home because of the sacrifices. And the sacrifices of a very, very small part of our population. I was just down talking to our special operators and my classmates, people I graduated with, who have been to Iraq and Afghanistan 7, 8, 9 tours, who've spent really years in country. They are owed just such a debt of gratitude.
And Congressman, you know, I never like to leave the war dead numbers at the number of American service people. We lost 58,000 or so in Vietnam, but the estimate of Vietnamese people killed was in the millions. So for the Afghanistan war, I'm seeing around 70,000 Afghan soldiers or police killed, so many more than the number of Americans, and around 70,000 Afghan civilians as well. And even the final U.S. drone strike on that suspected ISIS suicide bomber and his vehicle in Kabul just the other day drew a claim by a family that 10 of their civilian relatives, including 6 children, were killed in that strike. So far, the Pentagon is not disputing that from what I've seen. How do we begin to pay our respects to all those war dead?
I think that's a great question. I also would include over 3,000, almost 4,000 U.S. contractors killed, which are not included in the service members killed. And then really the people that I know that have been through such trauma that they can really no longer participate in their lives, who've left their families. Some are homeless, some are facing substance abuse issues. So the toll is really far higher, as you just indicated. And that is why, you know, I think it's so important that we left Afghanistan. There were a lot of claims that we could have held a perimeter around the base, kept people within the perimeter, continued to prop up the Afghan government. But that would include airstrikes against the Taliban. And as you mentioned, those airstrikes, you know, as precise as we work to make them, there are too often civilian casualties. And I simply don't think that after 20 years we could remain an occupying force and hope to do better by the government. I think if there was anything we could accomplish militarily in Afghanistan, we did it. We were there for 20 years with the best, most professional men and women, most well-equipped military in the world. And we did what we could accomplish. But I think, as you mentioned, that involved far too many civilian casualties as we went forward to really justify, I think, the U.S. military remaining in Afghanistan.
Well, did all those people we've been talking about die in vain? I mean, in the first clip of President Bush that we played, he said these carefully targeted actions are designed to disrupt the use of Afghanistan as a terrorist base of operations and to attack the military capability of the Taliban regime. Now we know the Taliban is back in power and groups like ISIS-K are apparently roaming free. Did the U.S. accomplish its goals in Afghanistan, even in the narrow terms defined by President Bush way back then?
Well, we certainly rooted out the physical infrastructure of al-Qaeda and the ability of al-Qaeda to use Afghanistan as a base to launch attacks against the United States. It's striking to me that in 20 years, we have been kept safe here at home. I think some of what we accomplished remains to be seen. Will there be a societal accomplishment there? We have trained thousands of women and girls. A lot, they have been to school. One of the evacuations that we helped to assist with was the evacuation of a girls' robotics team. There are many educated women and girls that remain in Afghanistan. Will they be able to take part in society? Will they have that ability now in a way they didn't 20 years ago? I think, like I said, much of that remains to be seen, and how that might impact the future of Afghanistan. So I certainly would say that given the situation on the ground 20 years ago, the fact that we had just seen the worst terrorist attack that our nation has ever seen launched from Afghanistan, And the government, or the leading power there, the Taliban, was unwilling to do anything to root that out. I do think we accomplished that. Now we're working very hard to maintain our intelligence capabilities there, over the horizon capabilities. But I think you can't say that the last 20 years was in vain.
Let's take a phone call from Summer in Charleston, South Carolina, who says she lived in Kabul for more than 5 years and worked for USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. Summer, you're on WNYC with Congresswoman Cheryl. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I listened to you for many years around the world, and many of those years in Kabul. First, I wanted to thank you for keeping this focus on Afghanistan these last 2 weeks, especially. I feel like we just have hours left in the media. We are being told that the war is over. The longest American war is over. Soldiers have left. But today is just the beginning for many, many people. Yes, I was in Afghanistan for more than 5 years. I had lived in Central Asia for many years before that. I worked for USAID for 1 year, and then I left to stay and work with civil society and NGOs on the ground, just really small organizations that are struggling today. And I just want to share some of those experiences of those people, because the Afghan voices are often left out of this conversation. I do appreciate some of the journalists that Afghan journalists that have been heard, but I think we could all do a much better job, because we have invested so much money and time in this country, and we have built up dreams and aspirations for an entire generation, and we have left. I woke up this morning with photos of a what was a bustling tailoring workshop in the center of Kabul. An Afghan-American dear friend of mine who has invested 16 years of her life, who also fled in a previous and during the communists, fled from the communists. And she went back to Kabul and created this beautiful workshop where men and women came every single day and worked together. They laughed, they drank tea. They made an income for 16 years, a small income, but enough to support their families. They got very little support from the international community. And today that workshop is completely empty. It's heartbreaking to see these images, the sound of the voices of these friends the WhatsApp messages that I receive and talking to them. It's despair. So yes, our 20 years is over. But there are many new, today is a new day for people in Kabul who can't get money from the bank, who don't have money to pay to buy food. The prices are for basic goods are through the roof. It's a new beginning for the Afghans who are arriving in New Jersey, around the country. How long will they be stuck on these Air Force bases or military bases? Will the young children who left school in Kabul and now have been greeted in America or arrived in America, will they be going to school? There's a lot of questions that we're not getting very transparent answers from the U.S. government. How long will they be on these bases before they, or will they be sent back because their papers are not processed?
And here's that one more clip I promised to President Bush from that October 7th, 2001 speech announcing the first airstrikes in Afghanistan. You'll hear why we're playing this.
The name of today's military operation is Enduring Freedom. We defend not only our precious freedoms, but also the freedom of people everywhere to live and raise their children free from fear.
So it's cringeworthy at this point to hear him say Operation Enduring Freedom. And we were talking about a lot of the reasons why with that last caller who worked for USAID. No two wars are the same, or the reasons for them, but are there biggest lessons for you, for future decision makers, in your opinion, from the decision to go to war in Afghanistan, the way it was fought, or the way it ended?
You know, Brian, something that has occurred to me for many, many years is it seems unfortunate that this country learns lessons, and then we have to relearn the lessons. They don't seem to kind of stick for too long. And I say that because I think after Vietnam, we learned that we needed to have a mission. We needed to have a defined mission, complete that mission, and end. There needed to be that definition, which was really lacking in Vietnam. And I think you saw that understanding in the first Gulf War. And there are many who were frustrated with the first President Bush saying that he should have done more, killed Saddam Hussein at that time. But we had a very defined mission. We completed that mission and we left. And I think that if you are going to have a military engagement that does not last for 20 years and does not sort of leave a sense by many people that we have unfinished business there, that is a well-defined, well-done military mission. And men and women in our military like to complete their mission. And I think that that's a lesson that we need to explore it with respect to Afghanistan. How did we get to a point where we entered into war and for three presidents, we couldn't seem to get out of it? There were different inflection points that seemed, especially killing Osama bin Laden, that seems like a time that we could have made a different choice. But for whatever reason, that choice just seemed untenable to former president. So I think now we have ended it, and there will be, I believe, a discussion going forward about how we enter into wars and then how we are planning, even from the first minute we fire a shot, how we are planning to end that war and complete the mission.
So how do you think people should view the airlift of the last 2 weeks with the chaos and desperation and death surrounding it, but also more than 120,000 people evacuated, most of them Afghans, who wanted to get out?
It was one of the most complex missions a modern military has done. It was done with an incredible amount of grace and courage by our service members. I think the military knew how dangerous an evacuation like that, or what we call a retrograde, is. As you can imagine, as you are pulling out, your forces on the ground get thinner and thinner and thinner, and that becomes the most dangerous part of the mission. We saw the devastating consequences of that with the service members who gave their lives to help thousands escape. So I think that the actual evacuation, that part and the way the military did it was an incredible feat and very honorable. And I know we're all very grateful to them. I do have misgivings, grave misgivings, about the people that still remain in Afghanistan who want to leave, about their safety and security. So I think we've entered, as Summer said, again, a new phase. And we really have to now work to understand the levers that the United States has to try to force better behavior by today's Taliban than the Taliban of 20 years ago. And those things, that's what our diplomats will be exploring. That's what Secretary Blinken was talking about. I'm not sure all of our military missions will be over. It depends on how the diplomatic missions go as to what we'll have to do to evacuate people. But that said, I think it's critical that our diplomats really work incredibly hard to come to those agreements that are going to best support the people that are still in Afghanistan, help them leave if they so desire, but also hopefully support a better path forward for the Afghan people.
Congresswoman Cheryl, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.